Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. This is the 2020 annual public meeting of PSP. I am Martin Glynn, chairman of PSP, and talking to you from my hometown of Vancouver. I will lead off this presentation and then be followed by Neil Cunningham, the chief executive officer. First, a quick note on housekeeping. If you have any questions, we encourage you to use the chat function throughout the webinar. Questions will be answered at the end of the presentation. Now, I am pleased that we can connect virtually, but hopeful that we will be able to see one another in person at next year's meeting. Since I am in Vancouver, I would like to acknowledge that I'm on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, while those of us who are in Ottawa are on the traditional unceded territory of the Anishinaabeg Nation, and those in Montreal are on the traditional unceded territory of the Mohawk Nation. I recognize that we all work in different areas and therefore in different traditional Indigenous territories. I encourage you to take a moment to reflect on that and acknowledge it. As a reminder, PSP's mandate is to manage the amounts transferred to it by the Government of Canada for the funding of retirement benefits earned from April 1st, 2000, by members of the public sector pension plans of the Federal Public Service, the Canadian Forces, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and since March 1, 2007, the Reserve Force. PSP manages amounts transferred to it in the best interest of contributors and beneficiaries and invest assets with a view to achieving a maximum rate of return without undue risk of loss, having regard to the funding policies and requirements of the pension plans and the ability of those plans to meet their financial obligations. As you can see here, Parliament has provided our legislative governance framework by means of the PSBIB Act. The Government of Canada is responsible for the funding policy, for appointing 11 non-executive directors, as well as pension advisory committee members and members of the nominating committee who recommend new board members, and for tabling PSP's annual report in Parliament. PSP has an arm's length relationship with the Government of Canada. It is guided by the Board of Directors, which works closely with the CEO and his management team, which in turn develops and implements PSP's investment strategy. The Board of Directors plays an essential role in PSP's investment success. It is responsible for providing strong oversight and guidance to ensure the organization successfully manages growth and continues to serve our mission to meet our long-term mandate. The Board of Directors is involved in determining the organization's strategic direction and is responsible for oversight and risk management, as well as the selection and performance evaluation and compensation of the President and CEO, who reports to the Board of Directors. The Board meets at least six times per year to review PSP's activities and strategy. Additionally, our board committees are very active, meeting in person or virtually at least quarterly. I'd like to highlight the fact that in keeping with the independent board best practices, we have a non-executive board. This means that none of the board members are executive management employees of PSP. They are all governor in council appointments based on their professional expertise, subject matter experience, in industry competencies, and their observable capacity to guide the corporation. I would like to thank the external nominating committee for their dedication in identifying and recommending new board members to the president of the Treasury Board. The nominating committee helps ensure the right board composition with the right balance of competencies to provide effective governance and oversight of PSP. This year, we appreciate their support in identifying replacements for four of our directors, as well as one requested renewal. And I would like to thank the Treasury Board Secretariat for all the careful consideration involved in putting forward our candidates to the minister. In pursuit of continued enhancements to governance and accountability, the Treasury Board approved a funding policy in 2018. This policy provides a decision framework to support funding of the public sector plans and formalizes the relationship between TBS, the Office of the Chief Actuary, and PSP Investments, among other stakeholders. And among other things, the funding policy prescribes the establishment of an Asset Liability Committee, or ALCO. The ALCO includes departmental officials representing each of the plans, the Department of Finance, as well as the Office of the Chief Actuary and PSP Investments. Now, a few words on our board. Together, we work with PSP's management team in support of the mandate to fulfill our strategic plan and mandate to manage the amounts that are transferred to PSP in the best interests of contributors and beneficiaries, and to invest the assets with a view to achieving a maximum rate of return without undue risk of loss. Before I turn it over to PSP's president and CEO, I'd be remiss if I didn't discuss the pandemic. Throughout the pandemic, the Canadian government, public service employees, armed forces, reserve force, and RCMP have risen to the occasion in maintaining order and keeping our country safe. We're grateful for the work you do on behalf of the Canadians and consider it a privilege to be tasked with managing and investing the funds that are transferred to us for their pension plans. PSP was ready when news of the COVID-19 outbreak first emerged in January. As a board, we received regular reports and held meetings to discuss the implications of what had become a global crisis by mid-March. I was also in virtual daily contact with NEO to ensure that the board was providing the necessary oversight and support. The board continues to support management in providing guidance to help the organization prepare for and adapt to this unprecedented situation, to mitigate risks and to seize any and all opportunities it presents. And Neil, now over to you.
Thank you, Martin. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Bonjour à tous et merci de vous joindre à nous. We at PSP are fully conscious of the contributions that plan members have made and continue to make on behalf of our country. This year, we're celebrating 20 years of operations. We're one of the largest pension asset managers in Canada with $169.8 billion of net assets under management as of March 31st of this year. We take our job, ensuring the long-term sustainability of the pension plans, very seriously. In that regard, over our 20-year history, PSP has succeeded. Our business strategy is entirely focused on investing the funds transferred to us for long-term growth while always taking risk into consideration. Our over 800 professionals in Ottawa, Montreal, New York, London, and Hong Kong, and our six asset class investing groups allow us to diversify our portfolio over 100 sectors and industries in more than 85 countries. Having feet on the ground in these multiple locations is essential to better understand the markets we operate in and have access to expertise and investments in those markets. I could not be prouder of the way our organization was prepared for and continues to respond to the COVID-19 situation. Our risk monitoring system gave us an early warning in mid-January that led us to restrict travel to China and Hong Kong, and eventually to move most of our Hong Kong-based employees to London in early February. Ultimately, we closed all our offices and went to a full work-from-home mode on March 11th, earlier than most organizations. We'd previously equipped all employees with portable computers as a backup and as part of our work-life balance program, not expecting it to last several months. Nevertheless, we were able to make the switch overnight with no loss of capability, including even our trading activities. We continue to work from home across the organization. During the market crash between mid-February and mid-March, we did not have any issues of liquidity. We actually were able to build up liquidity while others were stretched, and were able to perform our regular portfolio rebalancing activities during that time. I'm also very proud of our employees who contributed over $500,000 to our special COVID-19 relief fund that was topped up by a limited matching program by PSP to bring the total donations to local COVID-19 relief charities to over $700,000. Our preparedness, combined with leadership across all our teams and calm and professional execution by our employees, have demonstrated the best of PSP in the face of difficult circumstances. At PSP, we're deeply committed to inclusion and diversity, and we will continue to do more to ensure a safe environment where everyone feels valued and heard. Throughout the year, we continue to prioritize I&D through our eight affinity groups which promote various internal and external initiatives, including our biennial IND Forum, a one-week event held in November. Following the George Floyd killing, many of our employees participated in some powerful discussions that made us all question our ways of acting and thinking. I was moved to see that our employees stand united in wanting to act quickly to fight anti-Black racism. That's why, on top of our robust IND program, we supported the Black North Initiative to join our voice with over 200 Canadian organizations and work to end anti-Black racism in Canada. Fiscal 2021 marks the last year of our Vision 2021 strategic plan that we've talked about in previous presentations. This year, we're completing the final initiatives under Vision 2021 that largely consolidate the foundation we've built to support our future growth. We have three priority areas for fiscal year 2021. The first is enhancing our total fund mindset. We are operationalizing the changing of our performance measurement and compensation process to be much more based on achievement of total fund value add objectives and less on asset class level performance. We're completing the initiatives from Vision 2021 regarding PSP's total fund approach. These initiatives will help optimize our portfolio using enhanced tools for activities such as currency hedging and asset allocation. The second priority is optimizing the foundation. Over the last 4 years, we've built a broad range of capabilities and will use the current year to complete our core systems implementations. More importantly, attraction and retention of talent has become increasingly challenging, especially in this COVID environment, and we will continue to enhance the employee experience to be able to effectively compete for talent. And finally, the third priority area is to further bolster our data-driven decision-making. We're increasing our ability to capture and analyze data across PSP, including developing firm-wide KPIs in all investment and business units, all to help us extract important insights about our operations and investments in order to optimize our resources and make better investment decisions. Also this year, we're developing the next iteration of PSP's strategy. The path forward involves further enhancement of our total fund focus, places an increased focus on knowledge sharing and data-driven decision-making, and continues to focus on enhancing our talent value proposition. Now we'll turn to our financial results. Let me begin by saying that PSP is in strong financial health despite the pandemic. For the year ending March 31st, 2020, our portfolio return was negative 0.6% net of all costs, exceeding our benchmark return of negative 1.6%. We delivered a net return of 5.8% on a five-year basis, exceeding our benchmark return of 5.1%. And we exceeded our long-term return objective by delivering a net return of 8.5% on a 10-year basis, exceeding our benchmark return of 7.5%. Over that 10-year period, we generated $32.9 billion of cumulative investment gains above our return objective, and a total of $81.6 billion of cumulative net performance income. The success of PSP's investment approach is measured over the long term. The bar chart on the left shows PSP's returns, net of all expenses, compared to the return objective over the last 10 years. Our 10-year return of 8.5% exceeded the return objective communicated by the Government of Canada, 5.7%, and the return of our reference portfolio, 7.2%, which indicates that PSP has been successful in delivering long-term value for its stakeholders. You'll recall that the reference portfolio represents what could have been achieved with limited resources by investing passively in publicly listed securities. The difference between the two represents the value added by PSP by building a better portfolio and engaging in active management. And finally, the graph on the right isolates the value added by active management alone. Over a five-year period, PSP's return of 5.8% has exceeded the policy portfolio benchmark of 5.1%, which indicates that our active management activities are generating excess returns. I'll now examine our fiscal year from an asset class perspective. In public markets, with net assets under management of $81.1 billion, public markets, which is composed of public markets and absolute return strategies, or PMARs, and fixed income, has delivered a one-year return of negative 3% and a five-year return of 4.3%. Before the markets fully grasped the potential for global economic fallout as a result of COVID-19, the main public market indices were hovering around their all-time highs. At that time, PMARS was posting both positive absolute and relative performance for the fiscal year. In fewer than 5 weeks, many of the indices lost almost 30% of their value, experiencing one of the fastest and most significant stock market declines ever recorded. In private equity, with net assets under management of $24 billion, private equity achieved a one-year return of 5.2% and a five-year return of 7.2%. Performance income reached $1.1 billion. New co-investments were made primarily in the healthcare, financials, and technology sector. Credit investments. With net AUM of $13.3 billion, credit investments, formerly called private debt, generated a one-year return of 4.3% and a return since inception of 11.8% for 4.3 years. The portfolio is well diversified across asset types, geographies, industries, and equity sponsors. It is now near target allocation and within concentration limits. Real estate, with net AUM of $23.8 billion, real estate generated a one-year return of negative 4.4% and a five-year return of 8.3%. Real estate kept its focus on portfolio optimization by deploying into high conviction sectors. Among others, this resulted in key acquisitions within the multifamily and industrial sectors. The acquisitions in the core assets were concentrated in major international cities and high growth markets. We also disposed of strategic disposals of core assets in the office sectors in Canada, Europe, and the US, which had attained their objectives. In infrastructure, with net AUM of $18.3 billion, infrastructure generated a one-year return of 8.7% and a five-year return of 12.1%. Key investments during the year included a Canadian natural gas distribution and renewable power generation utility, and an interest in an operator of hyperscale data centers in the Asia Pacific region. In natural resources, with a net asset under management of $7.6 billion, natural resources generated a one-year return of negative 5.2% and a five-year return of 6.6%. Fiscal year 2020 was marked by continued strong deployment in both Australasia and North America. Notable investments throughout the year included a take private of a leading Australian grower of cotton and walnuts and a buy and lease transaction on approximately 11,500 hectares of mature almond orchards located in Victoria, Australia. Thank you. And with that, we'll now open it up to Q&A.
That if you wish to submit a question, you may use the chat function. Mesdames et messieurs, pour poser une question, vous pouvez utiliser la fonctionnalité de clavardage. Mr. Cunningham, we have our first question by Mr. Edward Cashman. I am concerned as to the viability of PSP investments in Revera given the recent slew of class action suits. Should PSP be considering a divestment at this time before things get worse?
Thanks, Stefano. Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I can't actually see you virtually, but in the circumstances, obviously, this is the way that we need to proceed. So thank you for that question, Mr. Cashman. The short answer is no, there's no reason for us to be thinking about divesting of Revera in face of the threatened class action lawsuits. Let me start by expressing extreme sympathy for those who have lost loved ones in the COVID crisis, particularly those in long-term care homes. It's an unprecedented situation, as we all know, and the system has been taxed to the extreme, and we also need to put a huge debt of thanks to our frontline workers who have been the real heroes in fighting this. But you know, from the specifically on the question, PSP has a very robust risk management system, very robust governance of Revera with an independent board of Revera, including industry experts with a lot of history in long-term care and in healthcare. They are overseen, of course, by PSP management and ultimately by PSP board. And there have been extensive investigations done when COVID was hitting and when bad outcomes were occurring. And we established pretty convincingly that there's no merit, in our view, to these threatened class action lawsuits. And I'll point out they are threatened at this point. They haven't been certified. We don't believe that they will be certified. And even in the event of a certification, we don't believe there'll be any significant loss to Revera. That, you know, I will say, though, that's not to diminish the problems that we all know now exist in long-term care, and that those inside the industry have known for quite some time exist within long-term care, mostly stemming from a long-term underfunding of the sector. And that has been a direct result of, or directly resulting in things that we see manifesting themselves today. PSP is committed to best practices in every investment that we undertake. And in Revera has been attempting, since we acquired it in 2007, to work from inside the industry to exert change, to encourage best practices, to try to convert some of these older homes with multi-bed wards into more modern facilities. And they've been pushing on rope to some extent to get it done. So I will say this, that in the event that the studies that are being done and then the ultimate solutions that may be arrived at for the long-term care industry, in the event that they don't result in a situation, including adequate funding, whereby PSP can feel proud of the care that's provided in these homes, we will exit, because they will no longer meet our own internal ESG and ethical guidelines. If we can't, you know, because of the structural issues, if we can't provide the level of care that we feel should be provided.
Second question by Mr. Ryan Stewart. What is the reason that PSP has invested in Revera?
That's a good question, Ryan. Mr. Ryan, thank you. So PSP bought Revera. It was originally called Retirement Residences REIT. It was a take private in 2007. The investment hypothesis was fairly simple in that when you look at the aging population, you know, as the old saying, there's only two things certain in life, and I'll say aging and taxes rather than death and taxes. But the you know, the growing senior population provides a terrific investment opportunity for a pension fund to make long-term investments. Now, I'll point out that Revera is 90%, and so since 07 we've grown it into one of the larger owner and operators of both retirement beds and long-term care beds in Canada, the US, and the UK. It's roughly 90% invested in the retirement sector, which is independent living and private pay, but is still one of the larger Canadian operators of long-term care. The return profile is very skewed in that where we make the maximum return is in the retirement side, especially where we do development activity. And the long-term care is a much more steady, lower return business, which is designed, you know, similar to a what you would consider a public infrastructure type of asset, although with obviously the operating responsibility of long-term care. But that's the reason we're in it. It continues to be a very good business for the long term. The demographics are in favor, and we've done quite well on it, considering the size of the investment and the opportunity, particularly in the development of retirement side.
Follow-up question by Mr. Stuart Ryan. Does PSP have an ethical investment policy?
Sure. And it's encapsulated in our ESG policies, which have a, I'll call it a reputational risk overlay, that every investment we make, our responsible investment team is involved in the initial stages as well as the final sign-off on making the investment. And as I say, we look at the environmental, the social, and the governance aspects as well as reputational risk aspects of investing in that particular investment. And we kill investments fairly frequently because of ESG reasons. It's just not a, either because it's one that we don't feel we could or should invest in, or the partner is not somebody we should be investing with, or if we feel that it's an industry or a sector which might be facing headwinds in the future because of the nature of the industry. So it's a very robust, we don't call it ethical investment policy necessarily, but it's encapsulated in the ESG policies and procedures.
Are there no further questions at this time? Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that if you wish to pose a question, you may use the chat functions. Mesdames et messieurs, si vous voulez poser une question, vous pouvez utiliser la fonctionnalité de clavardage. There are no further questions at the time, so Mr. Cunningham, Mr. Glynn, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm Martin Glynn, the chairman of the board of PSP, and I thank you very much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you again in a year. And we are working very hard as a board and as a management team to get through this financial and health crisis and do the best job we can for our stakeholders. So thank you very much for participating, and we look forward to seeing you next year. Thank you.
Thank you.